Good Morning Cybertron is a podcast intended for adults and is not suitable for those under the age of 18. Viewer discretion is advised.
I'm Paul Eiting, and Good Morning Cybertron is scientifically proven to be the best Transformers podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, Cybertron!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Good Morning Cybertron. I am your host, Scott. Can you believe it? Right now, I seem very calm, but I can tell you for a fact I have 10 little hypodermic needles stuck in my fucking knee because my cat is just down there fucking going to town going, I need my nails trimmed, but I'll never let you hold me. Just over and over and over, mercilessly, my right leg is just sitting in a pool of blood. With me today, God damn it, stop it! With me today, Newton, you fucking asshole!
Aww.
I love you.
That's just Andy Newton. Sir Isaac Newton.
That is his name.
Meow, I say.
That is
his
name.
Meow.
This, everybody, this is my good friend. This is Isaac Newton. We call him Newton, and we named him that a couple of days after we found him. He was a stray that we took in. He was just a little kitten. And we named him Newton because the fucker experiments with gravity on a constant basis. Nothing stays on a shelf around Newton. If you want to know what something sounds like whenever it hits the floor, just put it in front of this little guy right here. And he will let you know within seconds. But he does love me so very much. Yeah, I'm surprised. Can I have a headbutt? Can I have a little headbutt? No, not
today. Does he do that thing where he brings his paw up to an object that's close to an edge, and then he makes eye contact with you to make sure that you're watching, and then
no.
It hits the ground, and he's like, what are you going to do about
no,
it?
No, Newton doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't like, do this little bat and look at you to see what you're doing. He will just, fuck this. Fuck this. Fuck for this for being even 1 inch above the lowest possible place it could be. Fuck this. Fuck this over here. Oh, that one broke real fucking nice, didn't it? You're going to have to clean that up because I don't have thumbs. Fuck you,
I'm
Scott. I love
believe,
you.
I'm starting to believe Newton might just be a flat earther who doesn't believe gravity exists, and he's going to knock something over until he's proven right, and it flies upward.
I can't. This fucker gets into the garbage so fucking much. I have a theory that it's not actually a cat, but I've somehow picked up some weird orange raccoon and domesticated it. Because he does have very coon-like features. Does have very coon-like features. Anyway, all the way from Bammy, it's Kyle. How you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, yeehaw. All the way from the sophisticated California, it's Xavier.
Man, I just farted the Star-Spangled Banner.
You ever rip one of those farts that sounds like there's a question mark at the end of it?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, yeah. All the way from Tejas, it's the good part of Tejas. It's Walter.
Is Houston really the good part? Is it?
It's one of the better parts. It's one of the better parts.
It's pretty good, right?
Like, if we could somehow un-gerrymander this fucking place, that'd be great.
Man.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it one of those gerrymandered places where it's like Houston is, looks like it's like a clump of squares and then a long, thin stream of blue that tapers off into like a weird swirl? It's gerrymandered so bad.
Yep.
Trying
real hard to break up certain townships.
The thing that I love the very most about Texas, and I mean the very most, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre is based on serial killer Ed Gein, who lived in Wisconsin. He'd never been to Texas. So right. They went, Wisconsin Chainsaw Massacre, that's not going to work. Pennsylvania Chainsaw? No, the scariest word in the title, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, isn't chainsaw. It isn't massacre. It's Texas. Texas is the scariest word in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Well, that's why the band Static X decided to name their first album Wisconsin Death Trip.
There we go.
It was to correct that misfortunate titling.
Man, man, oh man. And all the way from British Columbia, where they grow coffee in ice. It's Thomas. How you doing, buddy? That's Columbia. Columbia is where all the regular coffee comes from. British Columbia, where all the iced coffee comes from. Of course. This makes sense.
We drink iced coffee all the time. Yes. And also, you know what an ice cap is?
Yeah.
I mean, an ice cap is in, like, it's like a slushy, but it's made out of coffee.
Yeah.
Those things. I love those things.
Yeah. I just recently found out, I forget what the name of them are up in Canada, but you guys have like this candy that's like a chocolate disc with little sprinkles on it. And I forget what the guy said they were called. You guys have rainbow colored sprinkles on the top of yours. We have white sprinkles on the top of ours. We call ours snow caps down here. It's a grandpa candy, like Mike and Ike's, Good and Plenty's.
Oh, I'm not, it's not, okay, what you're talking about is not ringing a bell just yet, but I think what you, the American version that you just talked about just did. I recently watched a video about the differences in, like, candy bars that are available in Canada versus mm-hmm. the ones that are available in the United States. And it's so weird to me to think that some of these things are not commonly available in the United States, considering it's like, you know, where all candy comes from.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, apparently, like, you're familiar with, like, Mars bars, right?
Oh, yeah. Mars is here in Pennsylvania. I've been to the Mars Candy Factory.
That's a really neat one.
Yeah.
But, like, that one, like, from what I remember being told, that, like, it's not that widely available across the entire United States.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Now, one of my other favorite things from Canada that I absolutely adore and love is Toy.Run. Oh my God.
Yes.
Now, listen. This is your good buddy, Scott the Blunghole Mort. I've got something that'll tickle your fancy, and that is Toy.Run. This is the ultimate playground for toy enthusiasts. Get ready to dive into a world where your favorite toys come to life. Now, Toy.Run is not just a social media platform. It's a toy lover's haven. I mean, look at this ugly wretch up here with his Legacy Voyager Inferno. Sir Toys. Oh, God, the beautiful Sir Toys showing off what he's seeing in Canada now. This is a place you can share your toy adventures, connect with fellow collectors, create a toy kingdom of your very own. The possibilities are endless when you join the Toy.Run community. But hold on, folks, because there's more to this story. As you plunge into the world of Toy.Run, you might start questioning everything. The toys, the tweets, even reality itself. You ever wonder who's really pulling the strings? The answer, my friends, lies in the shadows. The draconian overlords, the puppet masters of our reality, manipulating our every move. Toy.Run might seem innocent, but it's just a front for the real game being played behind closed doors. Wake up, sheeple! The Illuminati, the secret society controlling the world, they're using Toy.Run to distract you from their sinister plans. Follow the breadcrumbs, connect the dots, and you'll see a world where toys are not just playthings, but tools in the grand scheme of control. Now, whether you're here for toys or the truth, Toy.Run is the epicenter of the revolution. Sign up now. Become a truth seeker in the world of toys and conspiracies. Toy.Run, where playtime unveils the secrets of the universe. Don't just collect toys, collect the truth. Toy.Run, join the resistance today.
I'm sorry, what was that you cut out? I don't think anybody heard you.
I said Toy Dot Run's a great place to go.
So, that was nice.
Are they putting chemicals into toys that turn the freaking frogs gay?
I don't know. Let's find out. Do we have any frogs here? Yeah, we have turtles.
So what you're saying is they'll use the toys to destroy the child.
Destroy the child. Yeah.
And there's the turtles.
Yeah, the turtles are gay.
Well, that's close to frogs.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Not really.
Yeah, they're like frogs with mobile homes.
I feel like Thomas was about to fucking go, actually.
Oh God! Oh,
I had pet terrapins, like pet turtles before. Oh, they're evil.
So did anybody here? I see Dwayne Marsh. I see Brendan Callan, and I see Crossbones Koopa in the chat. Was anyone here one of the lucky few that within the first 30 seconds scored themselves one of these HasLab re-releases?
Yeah, no. I was too late for that shit.
Everybody was. I can't believe that one kind of stunned me, honestly. That one kind of stunned me that they would even re-release them for just a few moments. And I get what they were doing. They were selling off, you know, stock that they had in case somebody had like a catastrophe with their Unicron or what have you. But man, that was a surprise.
A couple of customer quality assurance extras.
I see you to do it in December in the middle of Christmas where no one has money. I had to pay $50 on top of that to maybe get a Star Saber. Great!
Squee.
Did you get one?
Well, don't keep us in suspense. Kyle, did you get the Star Saber?
No. Some fucker in Wisconsin probably got one, though.
Time for a death trip.
Do you know what I would have liked to have seen? I was, Christian and I were talking. Christian and I were talking about this. This should have been open. Number one, this should have been open to people who were just Pulse members. Number two, this should have been open. Like, if you had bought like a Unicron or a Star Saber before, too bad, so sad. You don't get a second chance. It should have been a thing, and you know, limited to one. This should have been a thing, like, to get these into the hands of as many people who didn't have them as possible. But I don't know if there was a limit. I don't think there was a thing, oh, you got a Unicron, you don't get a second. You know, it was, yeah, it was a surprise. It was a surprise, no two ways about it.
Mm-hmm. I feel bad for people who bought one off of, like,
basically someone at Hasbro had the idea, hey, we need to clear out some warehouse space before we fire all these people.
Yeah.
Fucking, just the timing, and it's just like, what if you bought some of this shit off of eBay? Like, you were like, all right, I finally scored after hunting for so long on eBay for a good price, and then Hasbro Pulse turns around and goes, here they are for the original price.
The fucking it just ended. Wow, that's great. I got my Unicron. It only cost me $2,500. What?
Yep.
Fuck you.
that's not too far from what happened to me.
Oh, no.
I remember I got my HasLab Unicron from Oh My Primus in Singapore, and They bought copies, but by the time I bought mine, like, I had paid, I think, probably more than double than what everybody else paid.
Wow.
The only time I ever saw Unicron, HasLab Unicron for a steal was, like, the first month of his release. And someone had buyer's remorse and was selling it for $900, and that was the lowest I had ever seen it. But that was real quick.
Oh yeah.
Yup, $900. You bet.
Yes.
Man.
It did come with a perk though, and that was that because it was a place in Asia, I was able to get mine way before everyone else did in North America.
Also, it's kind of fucked up that they had enough stock to, like, resell. But all those guys whose, like, ship sank, they just got that fucking Orion pack. And that's where that story ends.
I still have that fucking Star Saber. I still have that fucking COVID game at the bottom of the fucking ocean waiting for me.
At
the bottom of the sea.
That is the package that got lost that hurts me the most, right? Because I've never seen a COVID-19 game outside of Sir Toys, and it just it broke my fucking heart.
It broke my fucking heart.
You know what's good though is you can actually print your own now.
Yeah, I guess I could.
Right now, there are Magnapenna squids and Dumbo octopuses playing with your COVID game.
Yeah.
On the bottom and of he the knows ocean. The exact species, too.
Like, which is weird. The octopi came up with a vaccine before we did because of my game. That's the truth, man. Shit.
Wasn't there a... I think I remember fondly that thing. I remember it was like the angry cartoon-looking coronavirus. But wasn't it some weird packin' that also had a gun?
It was a doctor with a gun, if I'm not mistaken. We can go to Sir Toys. Sir Toys is still up, right? It's there. You just can't order anything from it. So if we type in COVID, which I don't think you're allowed to say on YouTube. Yeah, there it is. There's the COVID-19 mouth target game.
That's right. He shot it into its mouth.
Yeah. It's like some kind of weird Cthulhu COVID creature and some sort of vaguely weird medical, almost like One Piece-esque pirate ship gun thing.
Quite, medical pirate ship.
Quite literally Cthulhu now. Maybe that ship sunk in right in the hay. It's... Damn it. Damn it, this could have been mine.
It could have been. Maybe in an alternate universe, you do have it.
Look at that.
Or maybe it's a fucking across the multiverse.
A fucking doctor in a hazmat suit on a pirate ship-shaped gun shooting balls into COVID-19's mouth. You tell me what's not to fucking love. There's your next HasLab. People are on. They had like a picture of Evan and B-Mac standing in front of like a case with like the G1 Unicron prototype in front of it. They have them standing in front of that, and people are going like, "Oh, it's going to be Primus. That's a signal. The next HasLab will be Primus. Oh, that's the signal. The next HasLab will be the Unicron prototype. It's going to be the G1 Unicron prototype. Oh, that's the signal. The next Has." People are even going like, "There's been a few. It means that okay. What's the one that's missing? It's Beast Force Neo Unicron. The next HasLab is going to be Beast Force Neo Unicron." To which I say, in my fucking dreams, even I don't believe that. I want that, but I don't believe it. Like, I want my wife to come in and go, "Honey, I've got a few friends coming over. They want to have a four-way with you. I hope you don't mind. It's Scarlett Johansson and another Scarlett Johansson and me. Would you mind very much if we had a four-way?" Right? I want to believe that would happen. That's not going to happen. My wife neither knows Scarlett Johansson nor has access to cloning technology. So,
what if it's okay? Are we talking Avengers ScarJo, or are we talking starred in a Woody Allen movie ScarJo?
I mean, there's two of them, so we can have both, really.
Oh no, we can do freaky getting naked alien ScarJo. From under the skin. You remember that one?
I don't think I want freaky alien ScarJo from under the skin. I like staying alive.
That was the movie she got assaulted by Scottish hoodlums for driving in a van.
Yeah. How dare you? How fucking dare you? Oh my god. We got some comments over here. Dwayne Marsh says, "Yay, I made it. Hello everyone." Hello, Dwayne. Brendan Callanan, "Sup little creatures who live in my phone. If there was a horror movie here, it would be the Maryland Crab Massacre. I wish Cookie Monster would have come back up. It would have been cool, and I would have bought it." Dwayne Marshall also says, sorry, my hands were busy pumping full. I seen the Unicron thing, but I have the one I got from our almost didn't get before. I didn't even try. I didn't know that it was going up until 12:30, Dwayne, so I didn't even try either. And Crossbones Koopa says, curse you, movie studio. I deleted my comeback to the Blungholes question. I'll say here for now, Scramble City combiner links and switching limbs between combiners, best I could think of now, short notice. But, yeah, it's, if somebody's in the Pacific Ocean, if you could get my COVID-19 game, I'd appreciate that.
What if the HasLab, like, holiday sale thing actually included the Cookie Monster? Like, the rare prototype we never managed to sell to the masses because this is the one, like, the stock page image. Here, you can have it.
I would.
Do they even have that prototype?
I don't.
I've never seen it.
They probably have the prototype, but they're probably not allowed to show it. Who has the rights to Sesame Street toys?
Disney.
The Bush Entertainment Corporation. So the beer company. Really? The beer company.
Oh. The Germans.
Yeah, let's see. There's more. Current licenses include Fisher-Price, Nakajima, Build-A-Bear, Hasbro, but it looks like it's just for Sesame Street Monopoly. Wooly Willy, Betty Crocker, C&D, a lot of people have it.
That is one plentiful bird being spread amongst the masses.
Let's see here. Tickle Me Elmo, that fucking communist.
Yeah, really.
Great Tickle Me Elmo fire of 1997, I think.
We lost so many good men.
Hey, doesn't Warner Brothers own it now because of the new episodes coming out on HBO Max or something?
I don't know. This isn't Good Morning Sesame Street. I've got fucking no clue. Today's could you imagine that, an adult themed podcast for Sesame Street?
It probably exists.
Today's
tonight, I does.
Today's episode is brought to you the letters fuck and you, and the number 69. You sons of bitches.
Sounds like a Muppets Tonight remake.
The letter fuck.
I miss the days when you would have actually named the show The Letter Fuck.
Can't do that anymore. A woman took control of YouTube and everything went to shit.
One of them fucking TikTokers in charge.
Yeah. Life is shit.
Life is shit. It's not going to get better.
The best thing I can think of in the world right now is Keegan-Michael Key is going to be Bumblebee.
That's cool.
That is pretty cool. I'm oddly okay with that. If we can't have Dan Gilvezan, I'll take Keegan-Michael Key as Bumblebee. And apparently he's going to sound like Keegan-Michael Key, which I'm okay with.
I can't remember what he sounds like.
Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele, or he's actually Toad from the Super Mario Brothers movie. Come on, Mario!
I think he's just going to be Keegan-Michael Key.
I've had it up to here with you, Aaron.
Yeah. My name's Aaron. God damn it! And throws everything off his desk.
Oh, my God. I think my favorite Key and Peele skit are the two boxers trash-talking each other, where it's Peele, and it's going like, man, this guy's so old, there ain't even going to be a fight. It's just going to be me coming in and cleaning, taking care of business. And then it goes over and going, and the guy goes like, I will teach him the lesson of humility. God has chosen me. God has chosen me to take and teach him a lesson. And God's lessons are so beautiful. And then it passes over. And there you go. Man, I'll tell you what, there's just going to be two punches. Did he say God's lessons are beautiful? And they go back over. He goes, whenever you cannot eat and you have to have a breathing tube in and you cannot feel your arms and legs because your neck is snapped, finally, you will come to God. And he goes, man, he knows this is just play, right? And then they pan back over to him. Keegan-Michael Key's talking and talks. Man, this dude's sick. This isn't fair. This isn't fair to me or him.
What show was it? Do you remember this? Like, which show was it that made fun of football player rosters and just made up
Key
names?
Key and Peele.
Yeah, that's what it was. I remember watching that, and I thought it was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They came up with a football player named X-Wing.
That was X-Wing. That shit is good for a laugh at any time, because you can go back to early 1990s SNL, where they made fun of ghetto city kids getting picked up for a field trip. And this is when Chris Farley was still alive. And I remember his perfect, like, stone-faced delivery of, all right, it's comma, chameleon here. All right, get on the bus.
I think my favorite skit of that type, the comedian David Alan Greer, who was on in Living Color, he would read off birth control ingredient names, like they were children's names. Progesterone, get your ass off the seesaw and get in here and eat dinner. Don't you talk to your brother like that, estrogen. Do not.
First name Progest, last name Tyrone.
Mm-hmm. Progesterone. Oh my god. Giga Twin says yes, and it's hosted by Grover on a set that looks like Cheers, and Grover is the bartender. Just, everybody comes in. Oscar! Fuck. I would kill for an all Muppet remake of Cheers. Just so long as Sam the Eagle plays Frasier. That's all I want.
Oh, I want to see an all Muppet remake of Top Gun.
Oh.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
That's actually to see like the Muppet faces with the felt get pushed back and like Top Gun would be perfect. Well, I would play Tom Cruise so he could go
I want to see that. I want to see that prawn guy that says okay all the time fly an F-14.
Tef says, I would love a Gilbert Gottfried Bumblebee. Hell yes.
A little late for that. Gottfried's dead.
Gottfried's dead, AI. But I mean, we got AI.
And no one's ever really gone.
Yeah. Oh my god. Gilbert Gottfried is Unicron. For a while, I considered sparing your planet.
Now shall witness its dismemberment.
Proceed to oblivion.
Oh my god!
It is the one thing I fear, the only thing.
This,
the aristocrat.
If some, can you imagine what this would be like? Okay, if there was a character that was possessed by Unicron, he would just, like, manifest as this tiny Gilbert Gottfried on his shoulder, sassing him all the time.
Behold! Behold! Scourge and his sweeps, and Cyclonus and his armada. Cyclonus is 35% bombshell, 45% skywarp, and 15% junkion.
100% attitude.
Oh my god. Crossbones.
The 2% Viking admixture.
Yeah. Crossbones Koopa says, I want to see a Muppet remix of Ghostbusters. See, the thing about that is, everybody's expecting, like, a funny movie like Ghostbusters to get, like, a Muppet remix. The joy is whenever it's, like, shit like Top Gun getting a Muppets remix. Or Apocalypse Now. Or the Muppet remake of Flowers of the Killer Moon. The Muppet remake of The Revenant, where Fozzie just absolutely mauls one of those shrimp guys near to death.
My favorite Muppet movies are the ones where they take like a piece of classical literature, like Treasure Island or Christmas Carol, and then they fill that with Muppets. So what I want to see them do is I want to see them take one of the works of H.P. Lovecraft. And just fill that shit.
Oh my god.
A very Muppet
Mind Cop.
All of Cthulhu.
A very Muppets Upton Sinclair is the jungle. It's
a rat's Muppet in the walls that's not censored that also has Muppets in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the rat.
Is that the one with the cat? A very unfortunately named cat?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That cat would need to be a Muppet.
Nah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I would insist.
Crossbones. Crossbones gets it. Crossbones Koopa says Muppets in 300. Yes. Now you're getting it.
The fucking sexy Sparta, Waka Waka.
Oh fuck, that would be good. Who would you get to play? Which Muppet would be Xerxes? I feel like
Xerxes would have to be Gonzo.
Yes. Yes.
Xerxes
is Gonzo. Yes. Tef Tef suggests the Muppets Human Centipede. It makes sewing them together a lot easier. And Giga Twin says, so Jafar is confirmed to be possessed by Unicron. Yeah, yeah.
At least in this continuity.
Believe it or not, we got here because we got here because Keegan Michael Key is going to be Bumblebee.
One more. Muppets Epic of Gilgamesh.
Oh my god. You could do a Muppet in Kidu.
Yes.
Muppets Old Testament.
You know what would be even fucking hilarious, though, is if you did a very special episode of Star Trek The Next Generation with Picard explaining the Epic of Gilgamesh with puppets? When the wall
fell. The only context I have for Gilgamesh Star Trek.
Have you seen any of the episodes of Picard? He's fucking looking old.
Like, I mean, he is 90.
He is 90 or something.
It's not like he is old, Scott.
Yeah, I know. But you look at William Shatner, who's just about as old. William Shatner looks good for his age. And fucking Jean-Luc Picard looks like he's ready for the grave, which he kind of is.
Well, Patrick Stewart...
He looked that old in, like, the 90s.
Yeah, the thing is, though, Patrick Stewart actually commits to acting, and that puts more stress on him. And what do you expect Shatner to do? You expect Shatner to Shatner it up and go, there's something on the wing. And cut. Here's your paycheck. Tom, you're done.
It's the Shatnerian pause.
That sounded less like Shatner and more like Keanu Reeves.
There's something on the nacelle of the ship.
There's something on the wing. Something.
Jettison the everything.
Sorry, what were we saying?
Keegan and Michael Key is going to be Bumblebee. Dwayne Marsh says really? It should all be Muppets, no humans. Giga Twin says, I have an idea. Muppets cast in the series as the Swedish chef as Gilgamesh. That's good. I saw something this week that made my heart fucking sore. I didn't know either of my grandfathers very well. My mother's father, he died in a construction accident about 12 years before I was born. And my grandfather on my father's side, he died whenever I was 5 years old. So I never really had a grandfather figure to look up to. So like many of you, I just kind of like adopted Peter Cullen and Frank Welker as my grandfathers, right? Peter Cullen received, number one, way fucking overdue. Peter Cullen received the Emmy's Lifetime Achievement Award, and fucking Frank Welker gave it to him. It was like seeing, it was like seeing my grandparents, like my one grandfather hugged my other grandfather, and it was just like, God, and like Welker was talking about the first time he met Peter Cullen. He was doing this cartoon, and he was listening to the voices, and he was like listening to the entire cast. And he goes, "My God, I got to meet this cast. This cast is so talented." And it turned out the cast was just Peter Cullen, and it was great. And just Peter Cullen's speech, talking about his brother Larry. You know,
any convention panel, when Cullen talks about Larry, I start tearing up.
Oh, you, if you don't, you fucking have no soul, and you need, you need to be checked out by some sort of psychologist because you're obviously a step and a half away from being a serial killer.
Isn't Optimus Prime essentially the spirit of him?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. there have been a few people who've done Optimus Prime. And their Peter Cullen impersonation, I'm not going to name names because these are all very fine voice actors. Their Peter Cullen impersonation is dead on. Like, it's as close as you can get to being Peter Cullen without being Peter Cullen. But something was missing. Something was missing, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And then I saw the interview with Peter Cullen and his brother Larry saying, if you're going to play a hero, be strong enough to be gentle. And I went, oh, that's it. That's it. All these people are playing Optimus Prime without a gentler side. You know, and Cullen's playing...
And even Cullen himself in the Bay movies.
Mm-hmm. Like, and you can hear it. If you want to hear, in the Bay movies, Cullen being strong enough to be gentle, whenever he picks up jazz in the first Bay movie, and he goes, oh, jazz. You know, you can hear it. You can hear it. This character is so upset that he's lost a comrade. The first movie was okay. I actually saw an interview.
And then immediately, they fucking... Now he's a murderer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did see an interview with Mark Wahlberg, and they go, "What do you think of your Transformers movies?" And you go, "I think the first movie was good. Not mine." It's shit. Even Mark Wahlberg knows it's not mine.
Yeah, shit. That's interesting.
Yeah. But did anybody else watch this Lifetime Achievement Award?
Not yet.
I did.
What did you think of it, Walter?
Like you said earlier, about goddamn time.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, anytime Peter Cullen tells the story about his first audition and what his brother said to him before that audition, I start tearing up.
Yeah. And it's kind of sad to think we're getting to a point. I think each one of us on this show are going to see a time whenever this is the last time Peter Cullen is going to play Optimus Prime. You know, both of these fucking legends are getting up there, and it's just...
It sucks. And like, it does. It's not even that. It's just like, the dude just fucking killed... He's been Eeyore. He's been the Predator. He's been a host of other things. He's actually on Invincible right now as one of the voices.
Yeah. He's so good on Invincible. He's so good.
I know. Yes. You know what? He was totally, like, it was funny. He was playing some leader of some alliance.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't he doing the same, some effectively the same role in the original Voltron cartoon?
Yeah, pretty much so. Xavier, you were saying.
I mean, just like, he's still going, and it's just like a lot of voice actors get roasted for just doing their own voice and not trying to ape the style of the character if it's based on a dub or putting no thought into it. But it's just like, it's fucking Peter Cullen, man. It's like the original source material himself.
Yeah.
And he does Peter Cullen. You're like, fuck yeah, sir. You're right. That's absolutely the only way to do it. I'm sorry I ever said anything. Okay, I'll go in my corner now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there's certain voice actors that you hire because you need that one specific voice, like Steve Bloom, like Patrick Warburton, like Peter Cullen. They have that one distinctive voice that they do, and everyone has a use for that one specific voice. And then on the opposite end of that spectrum, you've got people like Frank Welker, who just have the god throat of range.
You know what's weird is it's like Seth Rogen is getting a lot of voice actor work, and it's just because it's like he's the stoner with the voice, and people want that. For it's just like, I need a stoner character. What are Cheech and Chong up to? Well, one of them's in law practice, and the other one is still doing like dramedies. So What's Seth Rogen doing?
It's I'm astounded at how much voice acting is start. I mean, you have some pretty big name. Walter Groggins is doing voice work. Sandra Oh is doing voice work. Fucking everybody, like, there. I don't think there's an actor I can think of right now that's worth their salt that isn't doing some sort of voice work. I mean, you even take a look. Mads Mikkelsen is doing voice work right now.
What's he doing?
And nobody watches a Mads Mikkelsen project just to hear his voice.
Yeah. He was, I think there was some sort of military video game that Mads Mikkelsen did the voice for.
The Hideo Kojima one?
Yeah, wasn't he in Death Stranding?
I think
so. He was modeled into Death Stranding, and if it was your birthday in Death Stranding, Mads Mikkelsen gave you a flower bouquet.
Yeah. Let's see here. He did, he was in Quantum of Solace as Lashif, and he was in Death Stranding as Clifford Unger. Let's see, has he done voice work
Star
for
Wars.
Any?
He's done Star Wars.
Yeah, but I think he was like, you know, not doing voice work for that. Let's see here. Control F, voice. And five matches. So he was in Moomins in the Comet Chase. He played Sniff. I don't even know what the fuck that is. Quantum of Solace. Yeah. What the fuck is Moomins in the Comet Chase?
Isn't that the Belgian...
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Who the fuck is Sniff? I need to know who Sniff is now.
Drug dealer in the Belgian cow comic.
Well, that's Sniff. Just imagine Hannibal Lecter's voice coming from Sniff. There you go.
I'm good.
Jesus.
Now, see, I didn't watch the Hannibal show, so to me, freaking Anthony Hopkins is still...
No, it's worth the thought.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, to me, Anthony Hopkins is still Hannibal Lecter.
He's... Mads Mikkelsen is a different kind of Hannibal, but he's just as effective, but in a different direction. I will say that. He's just as effective as Hopkins, but in a different direction. Moving on here.
Walter, hold on. I think I can turn this around for you. Mads Mikkelsen playing Hannibal, but it's Mads Mikkelsen playing Hannibal as a Muppet.
Oh. Just a plate in front of him with a bunch of stuffing and fabric.
So like a Hannibal Lecter Muppet voiced by Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah.
See, I still hear Anthony Hopkins in my head for that.
We have images of the upcoming studio series Scorponok. And baby doll, it looking good.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. He's got that purple kind of R.I.D. Scorponok look to him.
Yeah,
I like that.
I like that scorpion mode more than I thought that I would.
Yeah. Indeed. This is going to be a nice troop building pack.
Nice, especially if they do multiple color variants of it.
Oh yeah.
Like we get one in like a lighter green, we get one in like a desert tan, maybe an all black one.
You buy one of these and a can of silver spray paint. Yeah. You go fucking nuts, really. Man. Going over to the comments here. Teftef says, I like how this podcast barely starts as a Transformers podcast and takes milliseconds to derail into Muppet movies and random stuff. That's what we do, man. Teftef, that's why people don't come here. We're really just here. I'm not here for views. Like I worry about views over on my other channel. I'm not here for views. None of this shit is monetized. I don't know if you've noticed. There are no advertisements on my stuff at all. I'm just really here. I like hanging out with my bros and discussing which version of Scarlett Johansson's we're going to fuck. It's...
Redhead, always redhead.
Well, yeah.
Making her blonde in the last two Avengers movies was a goddamn mistake.
Hallelujah to that. Crossbones Koopa says, Muppets Forrest Gump, Kermit is Lieutenant Dan, the frog with no legs. I insist that somewhere in the movie somebody be eating a plate of frog's legs, and he just looks at the plate sadly.
Come on.
Oh, man. This looks so bloody good. There's this weird, especially in the face, there's this weird organic, like, it's like, there's like insect shell, like exoskeleton, trying to push out against the metal. And I fucking love it. I absolutely love it.
See, that's the thing, is the secret sauce with Beast Wars designs
I'm kind of miffed they didn't try to do mutant masks again with these toys.
Yeah. You were saying, Walter.
But yeah, the secret sauce that most people just do not realize is necessary for a Beast Wars design is a little bit of that 1990s H.R. Giger biomechanical body horror.
Right? Like, the flap pops open and he goes, oh, there's, like, three ribs and a fucking vein, you know?
Yeah, they're you know, exposed brains and mechanical tubes and pistons and...
There's like,
oh,
there's...
that's a kidney.
Yeah.
There's different conflicting... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's different conflicting components. There's like, at one part of the aesthetic, it's trying to do like, you know, everyday robot normal man. That's that, like, you know, that's kind of what a lot of the early Beast Wars stuff was like. Like, you know, like Waspinator had that regular humanoid looking face, but there was also a ton of this like weird ass alien detail on it too.
There was a certain thing too. Certain Beast Wars figures, if you looked at the robot mode's head, it was like they tried to make a head, like a smaller version of the bot's beast mode as the head. Like, no example for this is better than Clawjaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look at Clawjaw, he's got a little squid for a head.
He's definitely got the crab mandibles as a face.
Crabdibles.
And then also his entire head is also mandibles for his crab face.
Mandibles, you know, on mandibles, dog.
I would love like either 3D print or third party, like the fucking Beast Wars Trifid and that jellyfish, like
and the
Manticore,
part of the Telemocha line.
Yeah, I would love to see some version of those come out. There was actually
jellyfish.
You know what? I'm gonna save this. I'm gonna save this for my Looky What I Found. So I'll just. Mm-hmm. I'll just kind of just store this memory here, but this has that weird sort of feel to it. Like, you look at the head, and it's almost like, oh, okay, I can see like the parts here that are the cheeks are kind of the claws coming forward. This crest over the head is kind of the tail coming up over the back. You know, there's a little bit of that, not a lot. But there's a little bit of that in this figure where I can look at it and go, oh, okay, I can kind of see the scorpion in the head.
Yeah. Also, is it just me or the purple robot parts, like especially the hands, look like they're like made of like precious gems?
I was thinking that, like, they're faceted. Yeah.
Yeah, like his hands especially look like they're faceted amethyst or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God.
I noticed that too.
Thank God they didn't make him out of clear plastic.
Yeah.
Isn't there supposed to be like some sort of call signs etched onto him? Because I remember the 2007 movie version was like made of plates of like a plane or something, and they had the call signs of jets on there.
Well,
this one doesn't turn into a jet.
Yeah.
No, not a jet. It was made from parts of a jet.
Yeah, 2007 Scorponok was like part of Blackout's helicopter mode. Like, he was supposed to be like a fuel pod or something. that, like, burst off and then turned into a scorpion critter. But these Scorponox in the superior, not Michael Bay live-action movies are, like, Predacons left over from when Unicron ate the Maximal homeworld.
Yes.
No, because Unicron launches them to attack the Maximals.
They're battle beasts.
Look at this thing.
Now it's confusing.
That scorpion is great.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Scott, I am surprised you haven't mentioned yet that this motherfucker is beating other motherfuckers with a motherfucker on 67, 68.
Let's see, 44, 45. Hold on. Oh, hey, there is. There is regular Scorponok. Let's see here. I got to get to it. There's a lot of photos of this fucker.
There he is for Studio Series.
67. By God, look at that. Well, he's not. He's just kind of whipping him around. In 67 and 68, he's not hitting a Scorponok with another Scorponok. You know, that's the real role. Beat them with their
own. Yeah, but
he's
not working out with them either. You know that it's what it's for, right? He's clearly going to break at least the fourth wall.
There's like a Hulk-Loki situation. I'll tell you what. Spoilers. Number one. Spoilers for the newest issue of Skybound. The Skybound Transformers series. If you don't want to be spoiled for this, fucking go ahead like 2 or 3 minutes. Optimus Prime beats Skywarp nearly to death with his own arm. Not Skywarp's arm. Optimus's arm. Optimus loses his arm, like, picks it up.
He got shot in the shoulder real bad, gets pissed off, yanks off his own arm, and then just starts beating Skywarp with it.
I went, holy fuck, this is good.
I gotta see that, because
It's a good thing you didn't watch Gundam first.
I was just gonna say, there's at least two other instances in fiction where I've seen this happen. One was in 08 MS Team in Gundam. Yes, and in Futurama, when Fry loses his arm, and then he beats Zoidberg half to death with it. But
there's a third one.
Oh? Because in 08 MS
Face
Team...
does it, and like... Ape Face does it in one of the original Marvel comics. Sorry.
The scene in 08 MS Team was kind of amazing where, was it Shiro Amada grabs, like, he's in the mobile suit EZ-8, and he, like, the arm is busted, so he grabs it by the forearm with the other arm and tears it off, and you can see the joints failing as he's ripping it off, and then smacks that other mobile suit in the mouth.
Yeah, and then I do believe they did some sort of symmetry where they show, like, at the end of that, he actually has lost an arm and a leg, and he has to, like, walk around with a crutch for the rest of his life.
There you go, man.
At the end of the series.
There you go. Optimus. Oh, yes. Optimus is beating fucking Skywarp to death with his own arm.
Oh, yes. That's exactly what happens in that in that anime. This right here.
Such. Okay. Spoilers over. This is a fucking good comic book, man. This is a fucking good comic book. Yeah. Shit.
I'm someone who owns...
Go ahead, Kyle.
Okay. As someone who owns Infiltration, which is the last startup comic, this is better in every way.
Oh, absolutely. Walter, you were going to say...
Infiltration was a chase for 7 months.
Walter, you were going to say...
I'm probably going to pick up the trade paperback when it comes out, but I'm still of the opinion of it's a good retelling of the G1 story, but I've heard that story enough times.
I will say they're doing some clever stuff with it, like kind of taking, for right now at least, taking Megatron out of it, you know, having...
I mean, that's what IDW did during Infiltration, though.
Yeah. This has got me interested enough, and it's, you know, you're getting to see really a lot of Optimus's, you know, less of a hero, more of like a compassionate warrior side. So I do really like that. It's fan wanking me in all the right ways.
Scott, don't forget your favorite series animated also kneecapped Megatron for the first season. Well,
now it's
at least partway through.
It's interesting that you said animated because we have got unreleased Transformers animated CAD drawings. We have deluxe
a prophecy.
Yeah, deluxe Cybertronian mode Bumblebee, and not that weird hover car. And we also got Activatorus Rodimus. So this is the CAD drawing for animated Cybertronian Bumblebee. Interesting. Oh, yeah. Little, almost that Target Master Dune Buggy. Autobot Target Master
that
Dune Buggy.
A little sure shoddy, yeah.
Yeah, a little sure shoddy in the upload. Yeah.
Very sure shot.
And then there is your Rodimus. Very nice looking Activatorus Rodimus, but pretty. Pretty standard as far as what Rodimus was to the show.
Backpack cape.
Yeah.
Which, again, considering what, you know, the Activators were all about, that was a one-step transformation.
Kind of impressive.
Yeah. Let me rephrase that. A one-step transformation that ends with a fully articulated figure.
Yeah.
That buggy vehicle, to me, almost looks vaguely Transtech.
A little bit. Like there was definitely some Transtech DNA in animated. I mean, especially with Blur / Cheetor.
Oh, definitely with him. Yeah, for sure. And the legs.
Oh man, Crossbones Koopa says, "Want a Sandstorm repaint for Scorponok?" And his vintage Beast Wars toy collars. It's not beat a Scorponok with another Scorponok. It's whip it good. The thing is, I kind of want to remove myself from this conversation because as Xavier said, animated, my favorite. I'm going to be a little bit biased towards this. So please continue on without me. I'll be fine.
So you remember when Scott talked at length about his favorite episode of animated? I do.
I'll tell you what.
Those were the great days.
I think Powdered Sugar is the best character ever put to fiction in the 20th century.
Excuse me, Angry Archer for the win.
Powdered Sugar, was that the horse? Of the robot horse of Professor Princess?
You're damn right it was.
I need to explain how much I, as an animated fanboy, I really hate every single human antagonist in that show.
I'm telling you what,
or
man.
Soup.
All of them.
Powdered Sugar, man. Like, okay, yeah, you have Jean Valjean from Les Miserables. You have the Phantom of the Opera, Frankenstein, Dracula, Godzilla, Sherlock Holmes. Fuck them all. Powdered Sugar's my bitch.
Okay, out of the human villains, though, Prometheus Black was pretty badass. Especially with that Peter Stormare voice behind him.
I remember that.
Also, the fact that his supervillain name of Meltdown's kind of lame compared to his actual given Christian name of Prometheus Black. Just goddamn.
That's awesome.
Wasn't Keith Richardson the voice of Omega Supreme?
Kevin Michael Richardson.
Kevin Michael Richardson. God, I love that iteration of Omega Supreme because he came on the scene as the Autobot ship wrecked shit and had the best, like, bellowing pipes of "I am Omega Supreme," and I was like, "Yeah, you are, baby."
I thought that having Perceptor's voice is just a text-to-speech engine was a nice touch.
That was very cool, but they had that really nice wink towards the Beast Wars series when they did Black Arachne, and I thought Alita 1 being a Black Arachne was actually pretty cool of a twist.
Yeah, it was cool. It was interesting.
Yeah.
That was pretty nice. That was, like, one of the cool things that I did see out of that. Alita 1 being Black Arachnia.
The toy actually was pretty interesting too, because it was fully functional with ball joints, and it was really actually quite good for the time, even though it was super hollow underneath.
I kind of sort of have that toy. I have the Japanese version where they did like a boob job on her.
Oh, yeah, the Takara Legends Black Arachnia.
Right. I bought those three, the Black Arachnia, the Slipstream, and the Nightbird. So those are like three of my favorite fembots because they're extremely feminine.
It is, but it was such an unusual design choice for the beast mode. It's like I looked at that because I have that figure, and my thoughts were: you realize, in an attempt to make it look more feminine in robot mode, you have given her male spider characteristics.
Yeah, that sounds right.
They're an asexual species, so who cares?
My foot's a penis.
Yeah.
Those
great big puffy palps on the front of the spider, that's a male thing.
It's fine for animated. What's even funnier is like when they did Black Arachne and Prime and Venus Terzo was like a spider copter. It's like, how do you suck so bad as a spider copter? That's like a fucking metal ass sentence there. It's like spider copter, voiced by Venus Terzo.
I'm pretty sure that's not Venus Terzo.
Yeah, that's
somebody. Yeah.
Oh, shit. What's her name from Firefly?
Yeah. I think I know who you're talking about.
Was she in Firefly?
Yeah, Venus Terzo
was
in
Firefly. What the fuck is Firefly?
Huh?
The movie that Serenity's
movie.
An extremely popular...
What the fuck is Serenity?
An extremely popular short-lived
sci-fi the one series. Rapist made, or whatever the fuck we wound up saying that... his name is Joss Whedon made it. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. He made the Avengers before Stan Lee.
Let's see.
He made the Avengers and stole it all from fucking Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
Giga Twin says the angry
really
archer.
Gina Torres.
It was Gina Torres.
Oh, she's so hot. She was in Hannibal as well.
As a puppet.
She kind of. She was Lawrence Fishburne's wife in Hannibal. Giga Twin says, The Angry Archer and my personal favorite, Meltdown. Crossbones Koopa says, I only like animated Wasp, and when he becomes Waspinator, okay, going to say it, make freaking trans tech, Hasbro, you teased it, now shut up and fucking do it. Yeah. Yeah,
shot it out into the front.
Moving on to a looky what I found. Walter, do you have a looky what I found?
I think I do.
Okay.
Well, less of a what I found and more of a what I made.
Ooh, I've been kind of following your stuff over on X.com. It's just really, it's just a porno site that Walter and I share.
Really, the X is short for female chromosome.
Yeah.
So when I do like big piles of digibashes, I kind of like to organize them as though they were like, you know, retailer capsule lines. So following the example of Toxitron collection, I've made the Elite Guard collection.
Mm-hmm.
And with this set, I've basically thrown a whole bunch of animated homages together. So we got the Roadbuster repainted Ultra Magnus. Long Arm Prime.
Nice.
Black Ops Bulkhead, based off of that black repaint of the Transformers Prime Bulkhead. Sentinel Prime. I really like how this one turned out.
It is very well saturated.
Elite Guard Optimus. Jetfire and Jetstorm that I made out of DevCon. Mercenary Swindle.
Oh, Fred Willard.
Peace, my boy.
Elite Guard Prowl. Elite Guard Bumblebee. Because if we got these animated molds, you may as well do something with them.
Yeah, I've been surprised how little Generation Selects we've seen this year.
It's because of the Titans keep eating up the budget. Mm. Vortex Blur, based off of a canceled toy. Freeway Jazz, based off of a super late wave repaint. And... and one that I couldn't quite fit into the capsule, but wanted to do anyways, was the Goldfire Grimlock.
Mm. Everybody, I'm going to start a petition. I'm going to try to get Greg Berger's approval. I want to see a new movie called Grimlock Minus One. I'm just really, really hoping for it. Oh,
I hear he's game.
I bet he would be. I bet he fucking would be. Oh my God, Xavier, how about you, buddy? Any looking what I found this week?
So this whole thing with like naming Transformers weird things, Scott, you remember when I showed you crappy off-brands? Do you remember the name, just the plain ass white bread name they gave the Transformers?
It was wasn't it Transmorphers or Deformers or something like that?
No, it was like literally, this is Ted, the sports car.
Oh, yes, yes. I do, my favorite off weird name is Robert Cop, the future of law enforcement.
Well,
furniture of law enforcement.
No, the furniture.
Yeah, guess what? There's another superstar on the block now.
Let's see here. Hold on here. And we are looking. This is Revenge of the... oh, I've seen Revenge of the Allen.
That's right. It's Allen's turn for revenge.
That's right. Revenge of the Allen. Fuck. Yes. Nice. Nice one, man. The Revenge of the Allen is my favorite series of knockoffs. Second only to Send the Books. I don't know why. Send the books, man. That's a deep cut. How about you, Thomas? Do you have a looky what I found?
Yeah, I was looking for stuff that like could potentially like enhance some of my existing figures,
mm-hmm.
like you know the Titans Scorponok, and I found this right here. Hold on, I'm just trying to get to share my screen. This thing right here.
Oh, I actually have this.
Yeah, but doesn't this look interesting? Like,
yeah. Oh, that's a fun print, man.
Look at that.
That is a real fun print.
But like, this is like one of the big things that the Scorponok toy just like was really lacking. And this is kind of good.
Dude, look at the other stuff that guy does. He has a ton of parts for Scorponok.
Yeah, like I can see there's an elevator part too. Yeah. There's a gun and there's lots of that looks really neat.
It's got a swinging elevator, baby. Yeah. No, the Scorp parts are really nice. Kyle, how about you, buddy? Any reinforcements? God damn it. Any look at I founds this week?
Nope.
That's okay. I've got an interesting one. I found this website called The Legacy of Unicron. This was like this whole webpage about Unicron. And it turns out This guy knows what the sound clips were going to be for the G1 toy. So the sound clips for it, this was revealed in the 1989 book, The Transformers, the Movie Special Data Book. The 10 phrases are, and Orson Welles recorded these. You are in my power. You must obey me. I am Unicron. Attack planet Earth. Nothing can stop Unicron. Don't underestimate me. You belong to me now. Destroy the Matrix. Terminate the Autobots. And Unicron knows all. And just... Interesting. That was the first time I'd ever heard anywhere what the recorded phrases were going to be for that G1 Unicron toy. And
would this be Orson Welles doing the voices?
Yeah, it was Orson Welles recorded the phrases.
Huh.
And you would think they're out there someplace.
Yeah, that was my thought. Like, I mean, where are these recordings? Do they still exist?
Right. Well, no, it says down here, the recordings are lost. And what I would love, and they got the quote down here, I would love to have, like, just this skit where this little kid is playing in some alternate universe where he's, like, pressing the button on Unicron and goes, "You belong to me now. Click, destroy the Matrix. Click, you know what I did this morning? I played the voice of a toy. Some terrible robot toys from Japan that changed from one thing to another. The Japanese have funded a full-length animated cartoon about the doings of these toys, which is all bad outer space stuff. I play a planet. I menace somebody called something or other. Then I'm destroyed. My plan to destroy whoever it is thwarted. And I tear myself apart on the screen. Click, Unicron knows all."
Click. Ah, the French!
Frozen peas.
Frozen peas.
Frozen peas. And
I have a French fry in my beard.
I've got a second one here, just a tiny little one. This somebody made a KSI Doublehead Sentry. It's not the best 3D design I've ever seen, but I can appreciate it for what it is. The double-headed Sentry. Boy, there's a Studio Series toy that I would love to have.
I mean, they've got that Shockwave mold sitting right there doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah, I would love to see that two-headed double.
And there it will stay, apparently.
Yeah. Yep. With two tiny figures the size of rice that I accidentally inhaled, and now they're gone.
And a random-ass parachute man.
And random parachute man.
The parachute was instrumental to his downfall.
Robots
that the movie's named after.
Yeah.
Fucking a parachute.
The downfall of Shockwave.
Those tiny guys are not gone. They're living happily inside one of the alveoli of their lungs.
That's why COVID was so rough on me. Oh my god, man. Switching it back around. Reinforcements from Cybertron. Kyle, my ninja. Do you have any reinforcements this week?
Take great offense to that. I have, I don't know why I'm looking at him like his name's up here, medics.
I like how, I take offense to that, Scott. Thank you for sending me the medics.
I believe the correct term is shinobi.
Ah.
I hope that's in frame, 2-pack.
Ooh.
From Walmart that was discounted.
You're gonna love those are two good figures. Ratchet and Brawn are both fun figures. You're gonna love those, mm-hmm. man. You are gonna love those.
Brawn has an incredibly unusual but interesting vehicle mode.
Yeah.
They still have plastic windows.
Right on.
And Brawn also kind of looks like the Doom Slayer.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like a grunt from Halo with this shit coming up over his back.
He looks like one of those Among Us guys.
I think if you took Ratchet's head off, he'd look like
him. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, Thomas, how about you? Any reinforcements this week?
One. Deathsaurus.
Ooh. What do you think of the bad boy?
I haven't unboxed it yet.
Definitely, like, take the time to appreciate him. Like, turn your lights down low, light some candles, put on some Barry White.
I have to say, though, like, I was waiting for that thing to ship forever. And then on Monday, like, in the morning, like, I got a notification from Hasbro. Uh-huh. And they're like, "Good news! Your shipment has left the building." And then when I got home, it was already here.
It did that shit to me, too.
Yeah, I kind of had that happen, too.
Wait till you hear what happened to fucking me. But I'm glad you're liking Deathsaurus. Xavier, do you have any reinforcements this week?
G.I. Joe crossover sound wave.
I canceled mine. I'm being patient. Every other G.I. Joe crossover has just gone on deep clearance. I'm being patient. I'm being patient. I want it now!
I know.
Yeah.
Colors are phenomenal.
I wouldn't know about that either now, would I? Because I'm genetically defective. And my wife lets me know all the time.
It's true. You did start a podcast about Transformers. That's about as deep as genetic defects go.
You fucking evolutionary U-turn, Scott. Fucking hell.
Side grade.
How did you ever survive without
me? Side grade.
Oh, man. What do you like the least? Give me some sort of hope. What do you like the least about old Soundwave?
Hard to tell, honestly. It's like, it's a good... Well, okay, so it is obvious that it is not engineered by Hasbro's best because it's not the Hasbro team. It's like we've said before. It's the G.I. Joe guys.
Right.
And fucking just two guys banging rocks together. That's what it feels like. And it's like, okay, this is a little clumsy.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better.
Yeah, it's... Like, it's clumsy at some steps, and it's just like, it would be easier if this folded instead of twisted, that sort of thing. Like, you notice some things are not efficient.
Right.
But it's still a fun thing to think about, because it's like, man, this reminds me of that Devil Dew comic.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a real fucking awesome thing. And I'm just waiting for, like, those bubble pods to come back. It's like, Bumblebee's now a bumble pod or some shit.
That would be fun. That'd be fun. I can't wait to see... Cup is the triple T. That's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. Walter, how about you, buddy? Any reinforcements?
I got the two reactivate packs.
Ooh.
So here is the Bee and the Starscream.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Well, are they good?
Bee is a lot more complicated than I thought he was going to be. And Starscream is... I've heard people say that they actually like this mold better than the Earthrise. I'm still not quite sold on it as far as that goes, but it's a damn solid seeker. And then Soundwave is kind of trash, to be perfectly honest. But the Optimus that came in that pack is goddamn amazing. Like, this boy's got some chunk to him.
He looks like he's big, too.
He is a very large man. Here is a bottle of hot sauce that I had nearby for scale.
Right the fuck on.
Walter, how dare you accept bribes? You know we're cat people here.
Yeah.
Hmm?
I don't know. Cat scale. We throw up cats to measure our toys.
For scale.
Yeah.
Oh, the cat I had nearby just ran off.
Yeah.
Let's see. Shot glass for scale.
Okay,
yeah, close enough.
Now you're getting better. Right on.
Let's see. Gary-kun for scale.
Gary-kun.
Oh, fuck.
I'm just going to keep grabbing more and more esoteric things to use as scale comparisons. Here's a Nezha for scale.
Well, what I got this week, I'm glad you all asked.
Tigatron. Where's Cheetor? They've had recent releases.
I got Deathsaurus. I got Deathsaurus.
Hey.
This week. So
yeah?
It was supposed to ship. It was supposed to ship on and be here on Wednesday, right? And Wednesday night, of course, everybody knows, it wasn't here yet. But mysteriously, my shipping notice went to delivering to pending. And then the next day, it stayed pending, right? Now, I knew I wasn't going to be home. I knew I was going to have to sign for it. So I had it dropped off at a local Dollar General, right? So it just so happens on Thursday, I have to take my boss's daughter to a city, well, three cities over, right? So I looked at her and I'm out and I go, hey, do you mind if I stop and get a drink at this Dollar General? And that was my intention. I wasn't intending for anything else. I wanted a drink. I was thirsty. So I went in. I grabbed a Diet Mountain Dew. I look over and there's a HasLab package sitting in this Dollar General. And I look over and I went, I think that's mine. And they had me sign for it. And I walked out with a giant box, a bag of beef jerky, and some Mountain Dew. And let me tell you, Deathsaurus was fun to fuck around with. He was fun to unbox. I thought just everything was great. First off, you open that box up, and you're greeted with another box. And then you open that box up, and you pull that out, and it's that beautiful Guido Guidi artwork, right?
Yep.
And it's fantastic. And it's so beautiful, you don't want to cut the tape. The tape is just, you don't want to mess up anything on it. But you know there's even better stuff inside, right? So I was sitting up there. I don't have it here with me. I took it immediately up to my collection room. I wanted to enjoy it. And I have the Planet X Kaelus with the upgrade set, right? But I have like the normal wings. I really just got the upgrade set so I could have the little Falcon chest master, titty master, whatever you want to call it. And I'm like looking at this. I'm like pulling this out and here's the throne. I get the throne out. I assemble it. I throw the blast effects into another box. I don't care about them. And I get Deathsaurus, and I hold it up next to Kaelus. And I the Planet X Kaelus is really nice, but I actually liked the HasLab Deathsaurus better. And I set him down on his throne. And I look at the two closest were the Breastmaster Lions, or the Griffins, or whatever you want to call it. The Griffins were really close. I could take one or the other. But then you hold up the Falcon, and the Falcon is just so much better on the HasLab version than this weird, weak, thin, plasticky thing that you got with the Planet X. And just the weapons, and the weapon storage, the storage on the back of the throne is fucking inspired. How I'm able to fit everything that came with him on the back of this fucking throne was absolutely incredible. Like, okay, Deathsaurus was a feat of engineering, but the throne itself and the storage was a feat of engineering in and of itself. And
there's actually one gripe I have on that notion, and that the actual stand part that's intended for the robot when the throne's not in use doesn't have anywhere to go when the throne's installed.
I don't even care, but I'm not going to ever use that. So, but I can understand. I can understand.
It's a super minor gripe. I would have liked like maybe some cutout space underneath the base.
Yeah.
Put it there, but it just wouldn't fit. I tried.
I am absolutely in love with Deathsaurus. I think it's probably the best engineered of all three of the HasLab toys. It is,
yeah, but
it's fantastic.
You've been going on and on about this extra accessory. What about the real piece de resistance of Peepo and Boater, which you actually paid for?
I feel like I got my money's worth. I feel like each one of them's worth $100. They are fantastic. And then Monday I was on Twitter and somebody went, oh my God, they're selling the Retro Series on Walmart for $10 a piece. And I went, I'll buy Hot Rod and Hound for $10 each. And I did. And now I own what I'm told is a pink Hot Rod. I'm going to have to take all you fuckers' words for it.
It's not.
Oh, okay.
It's not really pink.
And I got Hound, and I had my buddy had Hound as a kid, and I forgot how small he actually is for what he's supposed to be. This is a tiny fucker. He's like mini bot sized almost.
Yeah, that's before the glow up into Winnebago mode.
Yeah. So I was really happy to get those. And then today, just before the show, I haven't had time to open them yet, but I got the Reactivate 2-packs.
Oh, good.
I can't really talk too much about them because I haven't fucked around with them yet.
I am waiting on those because those will eventually hit store shelves, I believe.
Probably at GameStop. I'm not expecting them to hit Target or Wally.
Probably will, though.
Yeah. Shit, I've heard people saying that they're seeing them at GameStops in Pittsburgh, close to where I'm at. I went up to the GameStop here in Johnstown about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I walked in, and I looked at their Transformers. They didn't have a whole lot of anything. And then I looked out. There's a fucking Omega Sentinel. A Generation Selects Omega Sentinel sitting on the floor.
How much?
200. It was I wasn't buying it. I wasn't. If it would have been 80, I would have been like, oh, now I'm troop building Titans. Okay.
That's the one Titan I need right now.
Yeah, I actually need him too. There's the list is getting obscenely bad about what I am missing out on. Christmas doesn't help.
If he's still there, do either of you want me to pick him up and then I'll ship him to you?
Well, I will. For 200, I'm going to say no, but if you do see those packs at GameStop, hit me up.
Will do. Will do.
Those reactivate. I'll take the reactivates first.
Will do. Will do. Let's see here. Excuse me. Giga Twin says, I now have 2 Transmetal 2s. Crossbones Koopa says, question, could Crantech be done? My God, look at the art for Silverbolt and some Macross Plus going on there in his jet and robot mode. Absolutely. Absolutely Transtech could be done, I believe. I think now more than ever, quite honestly.
Who has 2 Transmetal 2s?
Giga Twin says he has 2 Transmetal 2s.
Ooh.
Yeah. Crossbones Koopa goes on to say, I want to hear Unicron say, oh, you shush up now. I'm eating to the people of the first planet he consumes in the 86 movie. Studio Dwayne Marsh says the Studio Series Ratchet makes a good G2 Rook. Crossbones Koopa says, oh, not Transformers, but I got Leonardo figure from TMNT Mutant Mayhem, so I got all 4 Turtles. Say what you want about the movie, the figures are amazing. Teftef says, the parts forming of G.I. Joe Soundwave is the biggest letdown. Crossbones Koopa says, Crossbones Koopa says, my Leonardo sounds like Xavier. And Donatello sounds like Blunghole, freaking nerd, LOL. Teftef says, you think they make the G.I. Joe carrier as broadside? I'm going to be very honest. I don't think the G.I. Joe Transformers crossovers are selling well enough to start investing into a Titan. Well, it would be above Titan class. A 7-foot-long broadside.
Yeah. Like they haven't even done Optimus yet, because the obvious thing to do for Optimus would be the Rolling Thunder,
mm-hmm.
and that thing is so much larger than the Hiss Tank, than the Thunder Machine or the Aw Striker, that they just can't justify doing it yet.
Right. Right.
Yep.
These things
you got to remember what we're getting right now, like the smaller end of G.I. Joe, the 1- and 2-man vehicles.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Don't get me wrong. I would love a USS Flag broadside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love it. I don't know if I would buy it right away, because all these fuckers have gone on clearance. Hell, I was on Walmart and I saw the Megatron Hiss Tank still for $45 on Walmart.
I gotta get to Walmart.
Yeah.
just ask Chase to do you a solid.
Yeah. Crossbone Scooper.
So remember, it's the Walmart website, and Walmart allows third party sellers.
Yeah, but I did see it
being bought from and fulfilled by Walmart. It's just someone who's using Walmart's marketplace.
Yeah. Crossbone Scooper says one can only hope. Tep. Walter, can reactivate figures fit in with studio figures?
Sort of. With Michael Bay Studio, no. With Bumblebee and Rise of the Beasts, maybe.
Okay. Teftef does click in here. He says, reactivate are a bit bigger. The Deluxe Reactivate about the size of a Voyager Studio Series. Please excuse me, listeners. I apologize. There you go.
Oh, yeah, he's beefier.
And Crossbones Koopa also says the Havoc tank could be Optimus. Oh. Dudes, yeah. Listeners, do yourself a favor. Crossbones Koopa has a show. Please, please, please go over to Crossbones Koopa's YouTube channel. Link is in the description below. As well as, boy, I miss them. I miss Wolf 1701 this week and Duanis Perez. I hope they're both okay. But, man, Duanis has a great Transformers show. I have not seen the new episode of it yet. I think there was one that was put up. Things have been a nightmare. Things have been a nightmare this week. I've been so busy and just so tired whenever shit's gone down that I haven't had time. But I have this long list of YouTube videos that I'm going to get to this weekend. And by God, that's one as well. Ugly Wretch. Ugly Wretch has an amazing YouTube channel as well. I'm going to have to put the link to Ugly Wretch's channel down there as well. He's got some amazing stuff. Just, we've got such a good community over here at Good Morning Cybertron. I love the fact that everybody helps everybody else. And it's just, it's great. It's, this to me is what the fandom should be. I do love this. I do love this. Gentlemen, thank you for being here this week. Huge thank you to everyone over in the stream. Crossbones Koopa, Teftef, Dwayne Marsh, Gigatwin, let's see, was that Brendan Callanan? And like I said, Duanis, and Wolf. I hope everything's okay. Want to throw a shout out to Silver Moon and Mrs. Silver Moon. My God, we miss you, man. We miss you. I hope each one of you are doing very, very well. And, you know what? Merry Christmas from the very bottom of my heart. Merry Christmas to everyone out there. Happy holidays if you happen to not celebrate. Remember, and here's the thing. I'm gonna get on the soapbox here. If somebody says Happy Hanukkah to you, if somebody says Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, don't do the thing that our society kind of, well, I don't celebrate Christmas, or I don't, no, you take it as like your fellow man just reached out to you and said, I hope that this special day that I feel, I hope you're happy on this day too. I hope that you have a happy time. Take that into your heart and just, you know, wish them happiness back. The world is so tough. We're fighting over really, really stupid stuff. You know what? So even though a lot of you don't celebrate it, Merry Christmas. I hope the intention comes through that I do wish each and every one of our listeners just the best, the absolute best holiday. And, man, love each and every one of you guys. Gentlemen, thank you for being here. Say good night.
Did Scott cut out for anybody else there? I just heard, glad, holidays, Jews. So,
yeah. No, that's just about how you sound half the time.
So it's going around.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently
is.
Xavier's contagious.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
What was that about Jews?
They're awesome. I love them. Just so everyone knows, I'm still streaming here. I accidentally brought the window down and then popped it back up. And so everybody saw everybody dancing to the music.